you get to John 3:16? Well, I didn't. I left my Bible over here. The old paperback. And we're going to read John 3:16 and 17. How did I get there? Okay, let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did God send his Son into the world? Okay. What didn't he do? He didn't send Jesus here to condemn. Now, we are ambassadors for... So that means our responsibility is to carry out, or help him carry out his mandate. So if, since he wasn't sent here to condemn anyone, guess what? We're not here to condemn anyone either. And no matter what anyone does, we need to be mindful of the words that we say concerning them. And I'll just show you why, how it's tied in. Right. I had spoken to you a couple of times on a Wednesday and I believe a Friday evening about developing momentum. And I told you about the five characteristics of momentum. First one is momentum is single-minded. Right? Your mind can't be all over the place. There can't be anything else on your mind. You have to be unwavering in your pursuit of your goal. That means nothing can cause you to turn your head, swerve, move off to a different path, regardless of what it is. It has passion that knows no limits. There's no room for anything else in your heart except that thing that God put there. It demands a concentrated intensity. So you have to keep your eyes on it. See, being mammals and being basically predators, our eyes are in the front of our heads so we can stay focused on what we're pursuing. See, unlike prey whose eyes are on the side so they can see anything coming to eat it, you know. But we were designed so that we could stay focused. We can lock our eyes onto something, and that's the type of intensity that momentum demands, and it has boundless vision. Doesn't matter how big the thing is, it sees all of it all the time. There is nothing too big. That's why when God said that he's giving us the property now known as the Shops of Nanuet, soon to be known as the Spirit Center of the Nations, starting with the first building, now called Sears Building, which is going to be called Redeeming Love Christian Center, we don't have any issues locking on to that and seeing it, because that's a vision, that's something that God said, and we can't have anything else on our minds, no matter what it is, because all five of those things must be in place or momentum will wane. And we don't want to lose our momentum. And one of those times we talked about prayer and how prayer was what we call a momentum maker or momentum builder, and that prayer by itself wasn't enough. It needed action and positioning, as we saw when we looked at some of the accounts of Nehemiah. But there's another momentum builder that we're going to talk about a little tonight, and it's called right spirit. See, if you don't have the right spirit, you won't build momentum. Turn with me, please. Would you go to Luke 9? And mind you, this is after the disciples had that incident where they couldn't cast a demon out of the boy, and Jesus said to them, when they asked him why, according to the Message Bible, he said, because you're not yet taking God seriously. So you think after you ask the question and Jesus gives you that kind of answer, your thinking should change. You know? But they, I guess, you know, being human or whatever, picking up in verse 46, it says, then there arose reasoning among them. Some translations say arguing among them. Which of them should be the greatest? Well, they were already walking with the greatest. Okay. But not having this debate on who's the greatest. Okay. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said to them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. That should have been humbling by itself. Okay? That's like, shut up, don't say anything else, just chew on that for a while. But John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. Now, I'm thinking, what difference does it make? He's casting out devils in the name of Jesus. He's setting people free from demonic oppression, possession, any kind of shun there is. And John is like, yeah, but he's not one of us. Jesus, I guess, said, I didn't know we had a click going on here. Okay. And Jesus said, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Verse 55 says, but he turned and rebuked them. And I start, you know, thinking, I said, okay, he was, you know, kind of nice the first two times. You know, why did he rebuke them? And I guess he put all three of them together. And he said, okay, first, you know, he said, all right, I'll give them a pass with the demon-possessed boy. But now they're arguing who's the greatest. Then they're going to stop somebody from doing something good because he's not walking with us. And then they're going to kill the Samaritans because the Samaritans didn't fawn all over them. I guess, you know, it was like three strikes and you're rebuked, you know, kind of thing. And Jesus said, wait a minute. He didn't just rebuke them. He said, he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. And when I read that, I started thinking about it, and that's how this lesson developed. And he said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And Jesus was saying, hey, wait a minute, you're not about the same things that I'm about. I'm come to save men's lives. You want to separate, destroy, and lift yourself up. That's what you want to, you don't know what spirit you are of. How can there be agreement if you're not of the same spirit? And if there's no agreement, ain't no power. Because agreement is necessary. If there's no agreement, there's no life. Remember Psalm 133? How good and pleasant it is for us to dwell together. Where? In unity. And the end of that psalm, it says, because there God commanded the blessing. There where? There at that place of unity, God commanded a blessing. Life forevermore. So if you're not at that place of unity, guess what you don't have? Life. Not only forevermore, at all. Just because you made a choice that you're going to be in disagreement with something. You know not what spirit you are of. See, Jesus reminded them when he said, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He was reminding them of his purpose, his mission, his mandate. He's like, folks, this is why I'm here. You're with me, so this is why you're here. So since I am the one that was given the mandate, then the direction that I move, you need to move. If I stop, you need to stop. If I say it, you need to say it. I mean, didn't he tell them, or maybe he hadn't told them that yet, but at least he told us, as the Father has sent him, now he is sending us. So whatever he was instructed to do, we were instructed to do. Only we don't have to hang crucified on the cross, but we do have to become crucified. We have to crucify our flesh. Crucify our individual desires and wants and likes and have them line up with Jesus' purpose, Jesus' mission, Jesus' mandate. We need to understand that in order to get going in the right direction and then continue until a job is done, there has to be agreement. And there will not be agreement if we're not all of the same spirit. And it has to be the right spirit. Because we can be of the same spirit and it be wrong. Okay? In Daniel 6, it says, then this Daniel was preferred among the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. See, when you have the right spirit, or as the Bible says, an excellent spirit, there will be no fault, you'll be found faithful, and there will be no error in you. We say, well, how can that be? Well, let's think about it. Jesus said that he had to go, but he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. He said he was going to leave us with who? And who's the comforter? And what is the job of the Holy Spirit? To guide us into all truth. Show us things to come. Testify of Jesus. So if we allow that spirit to have free reign in us, will we ever make a mistake? No. Will there ever be any fault found in us? No. Why? We have the right spirit. We've been guided. We've allowed ourselves to be guided into all truth. The whole truth. One translation says, all the truth there is. I'd love to be at that place. I'm serious because I'm an individual that has to be right. Period. My children used to say, Dad, you just have to be right. I said, yeah, I do. I'm not saying I'm always right, but I always have to be right because as head of this household, when I'm wrong, it affects everybody else. So if I'm wrong, you can't just tell me that's wrong. You have to show me why it's wrong. I mean, that's the way, because I have to have an understanding. Because if I don't understand it, I might not do it. So in order to make sure that we are always right, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Because he's never going to guide us into error. He's never going to guide us into disagreement. That just means he's not going to tell Pastor Ed and I one thing and tell the congregation something different. He's not going to do that. He's going to tell everybody the same thing. And we have to understand that. And we have to realize that Daniel, he wasn't looking to be elevated. He was just looking to do what was right according to what he knew about his God, and he wasn't doing it under ideal circumstances. He was a slave, snatched out of his country. You know, he didn't say, oh, life beat me down. No, he had the real life inside of him. Didn't bother him. They wanted to change his name. They tried to get him to eat the wrong food. He stayed true to the spirit that was in him, and he didn't allow any circumstances to cause him to take on another spirit. See, we have the choice, no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, we always have the choice as to what spirit we're going to be of, to what spirit we're going to allow to motivate us, to how we're going to respond to what our flesh is screaming. We always have that choice. There's no law that says if someone calls you outside of your name, you just have to punch them in the mouth. There's no law that says that. There's no law that says you have to get mad. None. Those are all choices we make, and we make them for one reason and one reason only. We want to. That's the only reason. And I was a get mad expert, so I know. I had a PhD in getting angry. And I would get angry quick. You know how they flash fry food? Oh no, faster than that. I went from calm to rage. There was no gradual buildup. It was like, boom, there it is. And it was Pastor Sarah's the one that made me think about it. She looked at me and she said, you need to go before God and find out why I get mad in the first place. I'm like, yeah. But she was right. And I did. And I found out I wanted to. I'm like, how dare they say that to me or do that to me? No, they deserve it. No, they don't. So I walk around mad. You don't know it. I'm knotted up, can't keep food down, got a headache. It's boiling inside. You're going about like nothing's going on. And I'm like, there's something wrong with this. I knew not what spirit I was of, and I didn't have an excellent spirit, so guess how much spiritual momentum I had? None. None. And so I would get into stuff because of that. See, anytime you're in conflict with someone, your spirits are not kindred. And we have to understand when it happens. We have to understand. One of the main things that causes disagreements, preferences. That's what it is. We're so used to something, that's what we want to do, no matter what. I mean, now, even now, with everything that God is doing and changing here, some are still, you know, a little out of sorts because the music is different. Why? You have a preference based on what you've heard for a good part of your life. Well, God's doing something different. I mean, that's... See, I'm ahead. I'm way ahead. But he said to say it now. We were in a conversation this afternoon about fly fishing. And I've never went fly fishing. Pastor Ed did. And, but, you know, I saw the movie about fly fishing. A river runs through it, you know, and it fascinated me. And I read, you know, they stand in the water, and you can't put a worm on a hook and just sit on the bank like this if you're fly fishing. Expect the fish to bite. Doesn't work that way. You have to find out what season it is. Because different insects, larvae, hatch at different times, and the fish feed on them. So you have to find out what season it is and what the fish are biting. And that's what you need to bait your hook with. And then you still don't just stand in it. You have to mimic. That's why you see when they fly fishing, they're going like this. Because those insects, they're moving around in the water, or they'll land, they'll get up, and the fish is like timing it. It's 3, 2, 1, dinner. Okay, for him, he thought, but winds up being dinner for you. All right. But if you try and do it with an old method, you'll starve to death. Well, spiritually, it's similar. There are different seasons based on what's going on in the world. There's different bait that has to be used. So the same sound that was used in the 30s, 40s, 50s, even 70s and 80s and 90s isn't attracting this generation of people. So you need a different sound. You need different bait. You need to find out what they're biting. And you can't stand, you can't sit there and expect to catch a haul and say, well, I like worms, so I'm going to keep using worms. I don't care what these fish want. You'll starve to death. And you won't fulfill your purpose. There are people out there in the world that are literally, spiritually starving to death because the church isn't offering up the type of food that they need. Well, God is doing some things differently around here, and guess what? We're offering it up. We're offering it up. And everybody has to be of the same spirit, the same right spirit, so that we generate the momentum for the flood to wash through the way God wants it to wash through. It's really that simple. When we are in absolute agreement, nothing is impossible for us. You know the account. Go to Genesis 11. I've always liked this account of the Tower of Babel. See, we want God's plan to go from plan to manifestation. So we have to have the right spirit. We have to have the same spirit that Jesus has about this region, about this church, about this area. And then we'll all be in agreement. It says, and the whole earth was of one language, one speech. Everybody. Everybody. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said, one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to let us build us a city with a tower whose top may reach into the heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. So nowhere in there were they talking about God or concerned about what God wanted for them. They were concerned with making a name for themselves. Well, that's really no different than a disciple saying, no, he can't cast out demons because he's not one of us. Well, he's doing the same work. So what's wrong with it? These folks weren't interested in doing a great work for God. They had the wrong spirit. The principle was working for them because principles work. Whether you use them for good or evil, they work. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, who said this? He said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. See, they had one speech, one language, one focus, one mindset, because they were in agreement. And God knew what the result was going to be. He said, and now nothing will be restrained for them which they have imagined to do. See, the church needs to take that and run with it. See, that's not just a negative account. That's a teachable moment. God is saying, when you're of one mind and one speech, when we're of the same mindset, there isn't anything that we won't be able to do. We will be able to accomplish everything that he wants us to accomplish, but everybody has to get on the same page. And it can't be any schisms. We have to be one voice. One voice. Say that. Say, we're one voice. Okay? So God said, let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Another teachable moment. See, do an experiment. Pilar, would you help me? Just say something great in your native tongue to me.
Pastor, I believe you are a strong
man. No, in your native tongue.
I'm sorry.
I have no problem getting an agreement with that.
As I told you what I'm going to say.
Say something else.
Okay. El Señor te bendiga y te guarde siempre.
Okay.
You want to say you more?
But see, I can't get an agreement with that. Because I don't know what she's saying. Say it again. The same thing.
El Señor te bendiga y te guarde siempre.
I don't know what she's saying. And if she keeps saying it to me and I don't know what she's saying, I'm going to cop an attitude. I am. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is so far, I'll forget you. And then I'm going off about my business. Why? Thank you, Philip. Now you can tell us what you said.
See, may the Lord bless you and guard you.
Now you see, just because I didn't understand, I'd be rejecting a blessing. Okay. What? Because I didn't have any understanding as to what was being said to me. That's why God says, get wisdom, get understanding. Because you need to understand what's being shared with you so you can hook up with it. So God said, oh, this is easy. They think they're going to build a tower? All I have to do is change the language. Now they don't understand what each other's saying. They can't hook up with it. And you know what? When you don't understand what's being told with you, you develop a different attitude. Because if they stuck with their heart, which was build a tower, they would have figured out a way to communicate. But they were so focused on, I used to understand you clearly. I still know what I'm saying. Something must be wrong with you. And now they develop an attitude and they wind up being scattered all over the place. Why? Because they had no understanding, because they were no longer saying the same thing. That's the principle the enemy uses to divide the church. That's what he uses to divide congregations. He'll insert some different language in there, and people give ear to it, and they no longer understand what their pastors are saying, and they give their understanding to what this other voice is saying, and they follow after that and cause a rift. What happens to God's plan? It gets delayed. It's not going to get stopped, but it gets delayed. Why? Because he's going to get rid of some folks and bring a new bunch in that will listen to him, and his plan will go forward. That's why it's important that at all costs we stay of the right spirit, we stay with the right understanding, and we don't allow ourselves to be used to confound anything. Because we're of the right spirit. We're going to be like Daniel, and we're going to always be found to have a more excellent spirit, so no fault or anything is ever found in us. You understand? Okay, Proverbs 17, you have to turn there. It says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. That's why when something is shared and you don't get it right away, don't open your mouth and murmur about it. Let Father explain it to you. You go home, and instead of picking up the phone and calling someone, fall to your knees and say, Father, you said if I lacked wisdom, I just need to ask you, and you'd provide it liberally. And so I'm asking for wisdom as to what was shared with me this morning, and I thank you for receiving it. And then you let him download, and you're like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Yeah, I can hook up with that. I mean, there are times, Pastor Ed and I, we have to just keep talking it out, and finally get, we're on the same page. We can see that. Why? Because it starts out, you're hearing different things. So why can't you just hear the same thing? Well, we have different backgrounds. That's what people do. People come from different areas. I mean, if I said, what's a plant? And you tell me, they're plants. But if you were, you know, in a Midwest manufacturing town, what's a plant? That's the place my parents go to work. Well, there's a difference in understanding there. And if you just keep going in that direction, a rift will develop. Because quite often, there appears to be situations where both people are right, but things are taken out of context. So just being right is not enough. You have to find out what God's purpose is in everything. Because then you are truly right. Okay? So how can you determine what spirit is motivating you? You know, we don't have the right spirit meter. You know, we have an alarm in the tunnel where if the water gets up to a certain level, because there's underground springs here, water gets to a certain level because the pump's not working, the alarm goes off to alert us. You think, well, you know, it'd be great if we had something like that. The minute we start thinking the wrong thing, we start hearing all these alarms go off so we'll know. But we do have something that's called the inward witness. We do have something called a conscience, where God lets us know when something's not right. And we always have his word. And he said in the Voice translation, how many of you ever read scripture in the Voice Bible? What the Voice Bible does is it sometimes puts commentary in between the scriptures. And when I was reading Ephesians 5, between 20 and 21, there was some commentary. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It says, the Spirit-filled life is not just for a special few. It is the normal Christian life. Living a Spirit-filled life should be normal for every single believer. And it affects everything, including how we live in community and how we treat others at home. That's what it includes. So that has to mean that God's expectation is that we always have a right spirit wherever we are. And since we have that right spirit, verse 21 says, the spirit makes it possible to submit humbly to one another out of respect for the anointed. Out of respect for God, out of respect for Christ, we should be able to submit humbly to one another. Well, if we're willing to submit humbly, are we going to be out of agreement? No. Because we won't be looking for our own way. We'll be looking for ways to just come together and just mesh together. In addition to that, there are indicators according to Galatians 5. Those indicators the Bible calls fruit. That lets us know that we're of the right spirit. Because if that fruit can only be in us if we're of the right spirit. What's the fruit? Yep, go ahead. That's right. Let me read how the Holy Spirit says it. See, to me, I'm teaching myself not to use the word unconditional love. Because if I have the God kind of love, it's already unconditional. Okay. But the Voice Bible says the Holy Spirit produces a different kind of fruit. Different than what? Different than arguing, hatred, jealousy, anger. It produces unconditional love, joy, peace, patience. Everybody say patience. Okay. Kind-heartedness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're displaying that fruit, you know you're of the right spirit. Because you can't display those things if you're of the wrong spirit, because they don't come along with that. As I said, God has spoken some things and is doing some things, and Pastor Judy already shared with us by the Holy Ghost that we have to stop the backroom chatter. You know, we have to stop the murmuring, you know, because I don't like this or I don't understand that, or I want to hear this kind of music, or, you know, it's too loud, you know, it's too wild. Hey, it's all of that. Okay. Yes, sometimes it's loud, and yes, sometimes we're going to go wild. You go wild. You went wild when you were in the world. Were you loud when you were in the world? I mean, how many of you went to a party and you just walked around? You know, you didn't scream out party, you just went. No. And don't tell me you didn't dance in the spirit. Okay. Sometimes with a lampshade on your head. But now we've just been set free from the restraints, free from bondage, and we're able to freely express who we are, freely express our gratitude and our gratefulness to whose we are. Why are you getting upset about that? I mean, as I said before, some of you folks are moving parts of your body that you forgot were there, much less moved them before. And with that, you found out that they're working better. Those, you know, the itis brothers were evicted from some of you just by letting yourselves go in worship and praise. And to me, that sounds like good things. Doesn't it sound like a good thing to you? Yeah, I mean, that's so why open your mouth against that? Because it's different? Not the norm? Or it's not what you grew up with? Hey, Some of you guys, some of us, you know, grew up sharing a bed with two and three brothers. You still want to do that? change happens. And it's good. So God is opening up new avenues. He's pumping new life into us. And he's doing, you want to remember Isaiah 43, 18. And I think I'm going on to unhook. He says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I'm so excited about that because God is using us to make what was dead and dry flourish. And he selected us. He could have chosen anyone he wanted to, and he selected us. That's something to shout and sing and dance about. I think so. That's what the order of the day is, folks. How many of you are in Christ? How many of you, is everybody in here joined to the Lord? Okay. I'm going to close with this. I think it's 1 Corinthians. I left off the 1 or 2. 6:17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And since everybody in here is joined to the Lord, we're all one spirit. And if we're joined to the Lord, then we're joined to his spirit, so we know it has to be the right spirit. And since we're joined to the Lord, and we know it's his spirit, and it's the right spirit, then we should be walking in agreement. We should all be saying the same thing. Let's practice. Let's say, we're taking the community. Let's say it. Say it. We're taking the community. The mall is ours. The first building that's going to be given to us as a spoil is the Sears building. We will reach out to the community in different ways. And they will receive us, and the people will come flooding in. And when they come in, we're going to reach out with arms of love, regardless of what they look like, act like, or smell like. I just want that to sink in for a minute. And turn and look at somebody. And say, in addition, you are my brother or sister, whoever it is, in Christ, we are of the same spirit. So we walk in complete agreement one with another. There is no strife. There are no schisms in this place called Redeeming Love Christian Center. We are one family, and we will have, we do have the same care one for another. I love the music in this place. Give the Lord a praise. Folks, we have to get in the habit of letting those types of words come out of our mouth, speaking words of agreement one to another. So how do we speak words of agreement? Say the things that God has said. Well, I don't know everything he said. You know what he said concerning this place? Say that. Say that. And you'll be in agreement. Because ultimately, yes, it's important for us to be in agreement one with another, but it's more important for all of us to be in agreement with what God's plan is for this place. Because God's plan for this place includes his plan for you personally. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't have sent you here. We need, remember one of the principles for momentum is all five of those characteristics must be present. Momentum will wane. Well, God needs everybody to do their part or our momentum will wane. Will wane. It's something you're supposed to do, Iris. If you don't do it, our momentum will wane until either you get it right or God sends someone else. But what you're supposed to do has to be done for us to accomplish what God wants. It's the same thing with you, handmaiden. It's with everybody in here. We all have to do exactly what we were put here, placed here to do. Forgetting about what anybody else is doing. We have to do our part or momentum will wane. And God will hold us accountable. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your illustrations. Thank you for your examples. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for loving us and taking the time to just share with us this evening. Father, it's apparent to us that you have very specific plans for us. And we repent, Father, if we've been saying or going contrary to your plan. But as we learned when Chaplain was here, that we'd have to, some of us have to just change step and just get back in step with your plan, marching along to your cadence, oblivious to all that will distract, but just keeping our eyes focused on your purpose, your plan, your mandate for Redeeming Love Christian Center, because it includes your mandate for us individually. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you also, Lord, for your Holy Ghost to always give us a witness when we're about to step into another spirit, to set off the spiritual alarms, however you have to do it, because we are committed to getting right and staying right so that we can get your plan into manifestation. We understand, Lord, that when we speak the same language and of the same mind, nothing will be restrained from us. So it's obvious to us that you want to take off all the restraints. And you want us to be the example of what you will do to a people who will remain faithful and committed to your purpose. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.